Today we're going to be preaching on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3, verse 25, the Bible, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, says that God set him forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. You look at that and you're thinking, what did he just say? Let's pick it up a little bit before that so you can kind of get an idea. Look at verse 20. By the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, I'll tell you what the word means, through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. We want to talk beginning on this topic in verse 25. He is a propitiation through faith in his blood. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us today. How desperately we need you to be able to just use a vessel that is saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and saved by the blood, to be able to preach a message today that will strengthen and edify the saints that are here, and that will bring a knowledge and understanding of salvation to the lost, that they might, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, be saved and know that they're saved. For we ask you to do these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, when you read this passage of Scripture, let me just kind of alert you to what you've read here to help you get a grasp of it. And then we're going to go in and we're going to talk specifically about the ministry of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read this passage of Scripture, basically what the Lord is saying is that people who try to do good deeds, in this case, works of the law, cannot get to heaven by the good deeds they do. And I'm going to tell you something. That is a shock to any person who is lost that is depending upon good works to get them to heaven. And I'm going to tell you, most people that you talk to that are not saved believe that they are saved because of the good things they do. Now, we don't deal a whole lot in this area with people that have what I'd say other religions than Christian type religions, Catholicism, Presbyterian, Methodist, Episcopalian, Lutheran, Baptist. Those are what you might call Christian type religions because they name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? As opposed to something like Islam that would name Allah and use the Quran as opposed to the Bible. So around this area where we are, when we deal with people, we mainly deal with people who are who look to the Bible. I don't say that they're familiar with the Bible. Who look to the Bible at least as some guide. They look to the traditions of their religion for the things of their salvation, and most people who are not saved are doing something they think is good enough to get them to heaven. You say, how do you know that? We've dealt with literally thousands of people over the decades of the ministry, and when you visit with them and you ask them, are you going to heaven? They say, well, I hope so. And you ask them, why do you think that you should be able to go to heaven? And they'll say something like this, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. I've never hurt anybody. I'm keeping the commandments. That's always dangerous territory for them. Because I'll say then, can you name them? Usually not. But the idea is, listen, the idea is that they think that they're doing something that is at least good, at least better than the average person, so that when they have the opportunity to stand before God, they can just say, better than the average person, you know, if you're grading on the curve, Lord, you ought to be able to let me in. And I'm just here to tell you, it doesn't go like that. He says the law, every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. So you're asking yourself the question right now, then, how does anybody go to heaven? And the Bible told us clearly in this passage, but I want to emphasize it to you where you can get it. The Bible says you can go to heaven by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In other words, you're not good enough to get there on your own, but Jesus Christ is good enough. Jesus Christ came to this earth and lived for 33 years, and when He did, He never sinned. That may not be conceivable to you, but that is the testimony of the Bible, and I believe that. And Jesus Christ never sinned, and here's what He did. When He died on the cross, He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to let you have my record, and I'll take your sins. You say, well, that doesn't sound like a very fair trade. I don't know if it's fair or not, but I know it's good. And so consequently, as a result, what the Bible is showing us here is, if you want to go to heaven, I guess that's a good place to start. If you want to go to heaven, I can show you from the Scripture how to do that. Let me ask you this. Is there anybody here today that came in here this morning and they didn't realize that they were going to end up in a church? And you walked in here and it's like, ooh, I didn't mean to be here at all. Is there anybody that came in here today that would say, preacher, I don't want to go to heaven. So if you're going to preach and think that somehow or another I'm going to be impressed by what you're saying, forget it, because I don't want to go to heaven. I don't know what the alternatives are, but I'm not interested. Is there anybody that would raise their hand today and say, forget me, I'm not interested? Okay. Let the record be known, nobody raised their hands. We're doing good so far. No, I suppose if I asked the question the other way and I said, would everybody here like to go to heaven? I mean, you may already know that you're going there. You may not know, but you'd like to go to heaven when you die? Yeah, I would suppose everybody would raise their hand. Am I right about that? Is there anybody here that, yeah. Boy, I'll tell you, that's where I want to be. I feel like traveling on. That's what we were just singing. I'm ready, man. I'm ready. These are the boots I hope to get raptured in. You know, I'm ready. Let's go. What do you mean I don't get to keep these? I'm ready to roll. Let's go. So I'm going to tell you then a few things from the Bible that are really going to help you to understand what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross when He shed His blood so that you can go to heaven. And the first thing is found in verse 25. The blood of Jesus Christ, listen, propitiates. And you look at that word and you're thinking, I don't even know what that means. Well, if you have a dictionary on your phone, you can look it up. You can go to Safari and check out, you know, quickly and get the answer. Or you can just let me tell you. To propitiate means to appease. That's what it means. It means to appease. All right? Here's God sitting at His throne, and here's all of humanity. And before you get saved, believe it or not, and you may not even understand why, the wrath of God is on you. Before you get saved, the wrath of God is on you. You're thinking, wait a minute, that can't be so. Yeah, keep your finger here and go with me to John chapter 3 and look at this. This is the thing that most people don't understand. They really don't get this. If they got this, they might really change their attitude about what Jesus Christ did for them. All right, John chapter 3. Just find some familiar territory. Look at verse 16. Verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Can you imagine that? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and He gives you everlasting life. Verse 18 says, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. He doesn't have to wait till he gets to heaven to find that out. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Now look at verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. You know what I can tell you in most assuredly today? I have everlasting life. And I'm not boasting, I'm just telling you a fact because it was given to me when I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But watch this. Here's your case. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, you may find that shocking, I tell you, just simply believe what Jesus Christ said. You really should. The wrath of God abideth on him. So for instance, if this hymn book represents the wrath of God before I'm saved, I am under the wrath of God. I am condemned already. You say, why? Because I'm a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God hates sin. You know he hates it because he killed his own son to shed his blood. So you know what the Lord did when Jesus Christ died on the cross? His offering, the shedding of his blood, was a propitiation for God's wrath. You know what it did? It appeased God's wrath. So when I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, all right, and so the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is applied, the wrath of God goes off of me because it's already been poured onto Jesus Christ. So for instance, just say this pulpit is Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, all of the wrath of God went on to sin that he died for. That's your sin. All of the wrath of God went on there. So when you walk around under the wrath of God, all you need to do is trust what Jesus Christ did for you. You come under him, the wrath has been poured on Jesus Christ, and you are scot-free. Because he already took it. He already took it for you. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 9. This is tremendous. Verse 8 says, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Don't raise your hand. You ever been to court before? I have. They say whenever he is found guilty, they throw the book at him, don't they? You know what happens to a person who receives the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior? The Bible says because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's justified. Do you know what that means? It means that the moment you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God hauls you into court. You don't sense that. He hauls you into court and he says, what are the crimes against this man? And they open up the register and he says, I can't find them. And the reason is you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and they've already been put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God Almighty says to you, not guilty, justified. And as a result of that, you are saved from wrath through him because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. I have come to really appreciate what propitiation means. Because I know that my Savior is appeased and his wrath has already been poured out onto Jesus Christ. And we are not condemned when we've received the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. You know, if you've ever been to court, it always scares you because you don't know what the outcome is going to be. So, you know, you're like, I hope this works. Well, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you already know the outcome. You don't have to wait for the judgment to find out. Your case has already been settled. You just have to take the man, Jesus Christ. All right, let me show you something else. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. So the blood of Jesus Christ propitiates or appeases, and therefore the wrath of God is eliminated in your life. Now look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians 1, 7 says this. Speaking of Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Watch it. Redemption through his blood. You see it? The blood of Jesus Christ redeems. You say, what does that mean? You know, you probably don't realize this, but do you remember a couple of characters in the Bible named Adam and Eve? You remember those guys? Okay. Adam is the first man. God formed him from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. And then God put him to sleep and took a rib, and then of the rib he formed Eve, and there's the first husband and wife right there. He told them, there's one tree here in the middle of this garden called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and I don't want you to eat of that tree. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. In Genesis chapter 3, they ate. They ate that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when they did, many bad things happened. You know one of the bad things that happened? Death entered. Death entered. If you go to a graveyard to ask yourself the question, why do the most of these people die? And you're looking for an explanation, you might look and say, well, it was cancer for this group and a heart attack for this group and so forth and so on. I'll tell you why every single one of them is in there. Sin. And it came from Adam and Eve. And you know something, you're going to die. You know that already, and you've even begun to make preparations for it in some cases and take precautions against it in other cases. And you know what that tells you? That tells you that you are in a family of people that die. The Adams family. Lurch and all. Okay? So you're in this family, and you know who the boss of that family is? They talk about the mafia, right? And the bosses. You know who the boss of that family is? The devil. You see, in the Bible, God makes everything really simple. He just makes everything real plain. He says there are only two spiritual families, God's family and the devil's family. When Adam and Eve sinned and disobeyed God, they came into the devil's family. This is a terrible thing. If you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know something. I'm in God's family, you're in the devil's family. Or put it the other way, you could say, ha, I'm still in the devil's family, you're in God's family. But you're not celebrating. Because you don't like the fact that I just said you're in the devil's family. You don't want to be in the devil's family. And you know something? We don't want you to be in the devil's family. You say, well, how do I get out of that? Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He redeemed you. You know what it means to redeem something? It means to buy it back. You see, death entered into Adam's family, so you know what the Lord Jesus Christ did? He came down here, took upon him flesh just like we have, and then he died to satisfy the demands of sin and the devil's family, and then rose from the dead, and his death passes for every person that's in this room. So that you are redeemed. You know what he does? He buys you back from the devil's family. He said, now you're my child. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says, listen, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. How would you like to be a child of God? How would you like to have the wrath of God removed from you today in just one swoop? Gone. No more wrath of God. No more in the devil's family. They told me when I was a kid, I was raised Catholic, and they told me when I was a kid that I was baptized and that took care of original sin. I really think it put it in me. I really don't think it took it out of me. I mean, you just ought to see what I did as a child. And I tell you what, I mean, if you'll be honest with yourself, you know that you're in the devil's family. Just the way you think, the way you talk and act and things you've done. You say, you don't know me well enough to say that. Yeah, but I know what the Bible says. And the Bible says, you guilty, dude. And it doesn't have to be that way. Why? Because Jesus Christ paid the price that was sufficient to buy you back or to redeem you and put you into his family. But that's not all. The blood of Jesus Christ propitiates or appeases. It redeems. And look in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. What does the blood of Jesus Christ do? The blood of Jesus Christ, according to Colossians 1:20, makes peace. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace, how? Through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Watch it, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Now I know some of you guys like to watch Westerns. You ever watched a Western? Hey, you know, they always got gunslingers in there, don't they? And some bad guy pulls the gun, and right before he says, you're going to die, sucker, he says, you better make your peace with God. or the doctor comes in and he says, you know, this is not good. I hate to tell you that you've got, you know, just a couple more days here, and you need to make your peace with God. You say, how are you going to make your peace with God? How are you going to do that? I hear that all the time. They even say after he dies, rest in peace. But how does a person make his peace with God? I'll tell you how he does it. He does it through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it says here, and we've already seen this word used one other time in Romans, to reconcile all things unto himself. What does it mean to reconcile something? Well, I'll show you. Let's get a handsome couple up here, Lizzie and Ori. Quickly. She says, oh, man, Dad, I just got comfortable. Okay, get right here. I remember there was a day a couple years ago I got to stand here like this and introduce them to you as Mr. and Mrs. Tavi. Well, they've been married for a couple years now, and they have a child, and so... They're not happy right now after what she just did to him. They're having a fuss. You ever had a fuss as a married couple?
No.
No. And you know what? They need to reconcile. They need to reconcile. And to reconcile, you know what has to happen? She has to come over here and say, I'm sorry I hit you in the mouth. And he has to say, I forgive you, I love you. And then they get back together. Yeah. And then they get back together again and everybody's all happy. You know who does that for you between you and God? Jesus Christ. Yeah. Thank you. Jesus Christ does that. And you know how he did it? He shed his blood. He shed his blood, and that made a peace and a reconciliation and brought you and God together. Jesus Christ, the only person in the entire universe that can do that. You say, why? Because God is God, and we're all men, and Jesus Christ is both man and God. He's God manifest in the flesh. So he can take the hand of a man, he can take the hand of God, and he can join them together. And the price that he paid with his own blood is what allows him to make that peace. You know, so you don't have to wait till you got some gunslinger there with a gun. You better make your peace with God. You can tell him, you know what, I already have. Shoot. You better shoot straight. I don't want to be wounded. I feel like traveling on. Many years ago. I don't like to refer to sad past experiences, but I want to refer to this one in this light. Several young men in our church in Beeville were on their way to Sunday school on a Sunday morning and had a collision with an 18-wheeler. There were other people on their way to church as well and saw the accident, and they went immediately to the vehicle, which was, it was a bad accident. And they went to one of our friends, they went to Joseph, and they said, are you saved? Can we tell you about Jesus Christ? Because they could see he was critically injured. And he said to them, he turned with this shocking experience. His friend David is in the front seat. He's already passed away. His friend Brian, who was driving, has a broken hip. He's in terrible shape. He says, I'm fine. I've made my peace with God. I'm saved. Tend to somebody else. Can you imagine having that much composure after that kind of accident? Joseph, within just minutes of that, passed away and went on to be with the Lord. But he was so assured of his salvation, so reconciled to God, he just simply said, I'm fine. I've made my peace with God. I'm saved. Tend to somebody else. Isn't that something? You know what that is? That's peace. That's peace. Broken glass and stuff all over the place, and you know how those accidents are. And I got peace. How would you like to have that? You can have that through Jesus Christ because of the shed blood, which makes peace. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ propitiates, the blood of Jesus Christ redeems and makes peace. And watch this. 1 John 1, 7. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I don't know what you've done. I don't know what you've done in your life. But I can tell you this, in God's eyes, it wasn't good. Yeah. I know what I've done in my life. I didn't even have to look at it through God's eyes to know that it wasn't good, okay? But once I saw it through God's eyes, I found out it was really bad. I know that. And I'm going to tell you something. When you have sin in your life and you know the sin is bad, and it's all bad, by the way, once you see it from God's perspective, once you know that, you're looking for some way to get clean. You ever been sprayed by a skunk? Me neither. But the dog has. And the dog comes back in all like that. And you're like, bad dog. Whoa, that's nasty. And then you go to the kitchen cabinet and you're looking for something to take that smell away. And they say, vinegar does it. Now you got a vinegar dog that smells like a skunk. They say, no, tomato juice does it. And you put tomato sauce all over it. Now you got a dog that smells like vinegar and tomato sauce and skunk. And they said, no, baking powder. They put baking powder on that. Now you got a really funky looking dog. Man, look like a worst case of mange. And you still smell skunk. Nothing gets that smell out of there. You know what? You feel like a skunk before God when you see your sin in His eyes. And you want something to get that stain off of you. There's something, and I'm going to tell you what it is. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And may I tell you something? When it comes off of you, listen, when it comes off of you, it's gone. Amen. It's gone. He said, clean. He said, come unto me, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. You ever seen Snow White? I mean, not the movie. White snow? That's what I meant. You ever seen white snow? Beautiful. Beautiful. He says, you ever seen sin? Ugly. But you get the blood of Jesus Christ on that sin, and that sin is clean. It's gone. Listen, I don't know what you may have done before you got saved, but I'm going to tell you something. That sin will be clean in Jesus Christ. But let me go one step further, because I've been preaching to those who don't know Jesus Christ yet, in hopes that somebody here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ will finally receive Him as his Savior or her Savior. But listen. What about those sins you commit after you get saved? Blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's what happens to those. There's not a person in here who hadn't sinned since he's been saved. There's not a person in here who hadn't sinned since she was saved. And you know, sometimes you get weighed down by that and you go, man, I wish I hadn't done that. I knew better than that. Why in the world did I let myself get into that situation? You can sit there and wallow in it all you want to, or you can just simply go to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, thank you for shedding your blood for me. I'm sorry, but I need to be clean. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You want to leave the past in the past? Get it under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's gone. Gone, gone. Washed in the blood. What a wonderful thing. You know something? I like to be clean. I think you like me better when I'm clean. I've smelled myself when I wasn't clean. That's not good. You live in this world, sin's going to get on you, and you try all you want. You go through your penance, you go through your little ritual, you go through your little head game, whatever it is, to try to get yourself back in shape after you do something stupid. Forget all that. Just take the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you one more. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Beautiful verse of Scripture. I'll give you the lead in on verse 13. Hebrews 9:13, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, watch it, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You know what happens to you when you get saved? Your conscience wakes up. I don't know how many times I've heard people tell me after they've gotten saved, I'm not really sure I got saved. Why not? Well, I still do some of the same stuff I used to do before I got saved. I've heard that numerous times. And I said, well, let's talk about it. When you used to do those things before you got saved, did it bother you? He said, no. As a matter of fact, I found pleasure in them. I said, now that you, when you do them, how do you feel about it? He said, I don't like them at all. I said, that's a good evidence that you've gotten saved. Why? Because your conscience is awake about those things now, and you realize those things are wrong, and you don't want to do them. And so now as you grow more and more, you'll get away from those things. But I'll tell you what, you've been saved a while. Listen. And some of those thoughts still come back into your mind. You're like, what do I do with this conscience? What do I do with these thoughts? You know what you do? You put them under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And your conscience gets purged. Years ago, I heard a preacher preaching, and I think this is the way he put it. If not, it's the way I adapted what he was preaching. But listen, he said, if you ever get a thought in your mind that you want to go away, and it seems like the more determined you are for that thought to leave, the more determined it is to stay. You ever been there? He said, I'll tell you what you do. Just imagine that you walk into the throne room of God. The Bible says, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Just present yourself before the Lord, and instead of hiding that wicked thought, which is what most of us do when we have a wicked thought, we're like, ooh, I don't want anybody to know I've been thinking about this. Instead of that, you said, you know what you do? Just display it. Just tell the Lord, put this up on an IMAX screen right in front of your throne. And if you don't like what I'm thinking about any more than I do, why don't you hit it with the blood of Jesus Christ? I don't know why that works. I mean, I know supernatural workings that I can explain. All I know is this. When you ask the Lord to purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God, He purges your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Many years ago, before my wife and I married, we were getting ready. We went to her house and got some stuff that we were going to use in our apartment. And one thing that she had up in the attic was an old cast iron skillet. Have you ever seen an old cast iron skillet that's been neglected for like 10 years? You know what it looks like? It looks like something you need to throw in the dumpster. All rusty and nasty looking. So she goes, oh boy, we're not going to need that. And I said, hang on just a minute. I think we can do something with that. You know what we did? We purged it. Cleaned it up real good. Then I put a bunch of oil on it, stuck it in the oven at about 500 degrees and let it get in there and really bake down like that. I'm telling you, there are no better biscuits that we've ever made at home than the ones we make in that skillet. You know what we did? We took something that could have been discarded, that looked nasty and usable. We subjected it to the right kind of cleaning, got it purged, and now we can use it all the time. You know what I'm trying to tell you? When God purges you, He fixes you up in such a way that your thinking straightens out and you're at peace with God and you're cleansed from your sin and you're standing in as a child of God in a brand new family. And He says, you know what? I think I can do something with that. Don't throw that away. I believe I got something I can use that person for. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will allow you to be cleaned up and purged in a way where you can serve Him. Listen. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? To serve the living God. I want to tell you, you are looking at a prime example of somebody who is the product of the work of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. Redeemed. Appeased, justified, clean, purged, amazing. There is no other explanation for why I should be here today preaching and you should be here listening, but for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing. Many years ago, there was a conference, I think it was in Chicago. I'm talking about many years ago. It was a world conference of religions. And all the religions of the world that would send representatives to this Congress had gone there. And so there was a big discussion about how does your religion look at this and how does your religion look at that. And finally, a preacher stood up amongst all those and he said, I have a proposition for you. And he had a young lady there, and he used her as an illustration. And he says, here is a young lady, and because of certain circumstances in her life, listen, she has committed murder. What does your religion offer that would allow this murderer to go free? And all of the religious people were there, and they tried to think of what their religion offered to try to reconcile this murderer. Buddhists had nothing. Muslims had nothing. Confucians had nothing, and so forth and so on as you go through all of the religions of the world, right? Taoists had nothing. Finally, after they were all stumped, he raised his hands before all of them and he said, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. He said, only Christianity has the answer to her need. It is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what you've done, but I can tell you this. No matter what it is, the blood of Jesus Christ fixed you up today. And you can leave that old devil's family. You can be cleansed from your past. Walking with a clean record, purged to serve God, and saved as a child of God. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. All hail to the Father, all hail to the Son. All hail to the Spirit, the great three in one. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful today for the shed blood of the crucified one. For our saints that are here today, Father, that have needed their conscience purged, I pray what they've heard toward the end of this message will really give them something to help them with their consciences to be at ease. For those who are still troubled by their past that are saved, Father, I pray that they'll know they are cleansed from all sin by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those that are amongst us today, Father, that don't yet know You as their Savior, I pray Your Holy Spirit right now will make it perfectly clear to them, Lord, they're not saved. And make it perfectly clear to them that today they can be saved and washed in the blood to be a child of God. And Father, we ask You to bless this time together as we sing for Jesus' sake. Amen.